illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please, you can call in right now. We're going to have Bill Sardi on the line, and we're not able to get hold of him. So we're going to have to just depend upon you, because I have absolutely nothing prepared at all. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world. As I woke up this morning, we heard that in Nepal, the foreigners have been told to leave the country because the country is going to fall. Of course, the country is ruled by a king, a rather liberal king, but of course there are Maoist revolutionaries there that are working to overthrow his government, and certainly they've had a semblance of democracy there, but you see the Maoists really want to get in power and bring in a dictatorship. So what did the United States do? Well, it did what it always does. It actually, put an arms embargo on Nepal, and we got India and Great Britain and a couple of other countries to go along to take away the arms from Nepal so they could not resist the Maoist revolutionaries, and now the Maoists are threatening to take over the country, and they will impose a ruthless dictatorship there, as they do in every country they have taken over with our help. Now, you need to go back through history, and you need to go back to what happened in China in 1947 and 48 and 49, and I suspect that many of the listeners out there in the audience are too young to remember what happened, but I remember what happened at that time, and we have all the documentation of what happened. During the Second World War, our boys went both to Germany, to Europe, and to the Far East to fight for freedom. And then, of course, after the war, why our State Department betrayed all those men who had given their lives and actually did everything they could to bring the communists to power. And how did they do that? Why, they put an arms embargo on the nationalist Chinese so they could buy weapons anywhere in the world. And so the weapons that they'd already bought and paid for in Okinawa and other Pacific islands, they couldn't get. They didn't have any ammunition for their guns. They had no means of opposing the communists. The communists did not have much support. They never do. But, of course, we made sure that there would be no opposition to them. And, of course, the communists had lots of weapons. They had the weapons they would send to Russia for the Second Front during the Second World War. They had the weapons that the communists had taken from the Japanese as they, because the Japanese came, pardon me, the Russians came into the war 5 days before it ended, and they picked up all those Japanese weapons, and then they turned them over to the communists. So the communists had lots of weapons. The nationalists had no weapons. The State Department was told, of course, to provide weapons for the nationalist Chinese. Congress appropriated $125 million, which would be equivalent to several billion dollars today for weapons and arms. And the State Department loaded the ships, but wouldn't allow them to leave the harbor in San Francisco or Los Angeles for a year and a half. And when those shipments finally did arrive, why, the rifles had no bolts in them and were useless. They knew exactly what they were doing. We brought communism to China in 1949 and 1950, and we brought it to Cuba because we did exactly the same thing in 1958. And we'll be back here in just a moment, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest we haven't been able to reach. And so right now, of course, we are going to just be doing open lines, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we were talking about this morning as I woke up. I heard over the radio that in Nepal, Americans and foreigners have been told to leave the country because, of course, there was unrest. It looked like the Maoists were going to take control. Well, we've got Bill Sardi on the line here, and I'm sure you'd far rather hear him talk than me. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi. Great. sure you want to talk about the flu today.
In fact, it was so interesting that they actually had a program on last night on one of the major channels, and it was a full hour of how terrible it was going to be when they had the epidemic and people were dying and large numbers as the pandemic was spreading across America. And it's all part of a game. It's sort of like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, just to frighten the American people, to see how they can get them not to think about the really important issues. I mean, we've lost 30 million people from AIDS. We've got 50 million people infected throughout the world. And we've lost 106 people from avian flu over a period of 3 years. And what are we emphasizing? Oh, the danger of avian flu.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what the drill is for. Why are they continuing with the propaganda? We have a news story today to attach to this, which is quite alarming. But when you said the word American, I think we're trying to kind of set up the world, not just America, so that we'll all line up like we do so dutifully, so American-esque, so be a good citizen, line up, get your flu shot. Let's get the whole world into this pattern every year so we can sell billions of flu shots, not just a few million.
But of course, my concern is the potential danger of those flu shots.
Well, we're certainly concerned about them, and they've got some problems here. They're reporting with vaccines, NationalVaccineInformationCenter.org, you know, showing that some children have gotten some bad tuberculosis vaccine, and apparently they've had some serious health problems, maybe some mortality, so these kind of things. But, of course, the question got to me is, why are they doing this, and what aren't they telling us? Because there's something missing here. There's something missing, and what they keep saying is there's this cyclical pattern. It was the flu in 1918, which was called the Spanish flu. There was then, of course, another flu outbreak in 1957-58 called the Asian flu.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and fortunately we have Bill Sardi with us. And if you'd like to give us a call, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls, because we want to hear what Bill has to say. We're talking about the scare programs that they're putting out. Now, I know a lot of good people who've been, really believe that avian flu is a real problem because, of course, it's spreading all throughout the world, and my goodness, all these birds are dying, and it's only a matter of time before it mutates to human beings. But this virus has been around since 1957. It has not mutated. It's only killed a little over 100 people, since the year 2003, and the chances, you know, that it will actually be changed is pretty slim. In fact, you know, the problem, one of the big problems we have today, you know, is that 160 people die every year in America from being hit by a lightning strike. Nobody's died in America from avian flu. And yet, of course, you know, they're doing everything they can to frighten us to death. And it's amazing when they control the media, how they can control our reality. So you pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, let's prove that they're controlling the media, because the media parrots this whole idea that it's on a cycle. That is, the flu comes every so many years. Maybe the turning of the planets. I mean, come on, let's get real. Anyway, there was a flu outbreak in 1918. We heard about that one, the so-called Spanish flu. 500,000 Americans, not millions here, but millions worldwide. They think maybe half the world got the flu in that year. That was the H1N1 strain. That was not the H5N1 that you hear about in the media. You'll need a pencil and paper to keep this straight if you're trying. 1957-58 was the Asian flu, 70,000 deaths. That was the H2N2 strain, and then these are all influenza A and B. These are all A's, I believe. This is 1968-69. Then came the Hong Kong flu. 34,000 Americans died. Now, those are the main ones they quote. There's also another little Russian flu outbreak in 1977 and 78. That's the H1N1 again, the same strain that was in 1918. You mean the flu virus that struck in 1918 actually struck in 1977? Well, according to the records they did here. At any rate, the whole idea that this is some evidence of evolution and it springs on a cycle, why is the news media continuing to propagandize this idea? It's totally, do you see any cycle between 1918, 1957, and 1967? There's no sense. There's a one big gap running for 40, 50 years, and there's another one that goes only 10 years. There's no cycle here. It makes no sense. Unless you and I can't count. I don't know what it is. But what the part of my news report today, which is quite striking, was the National Center for Health Statistics issued a report last week, everyone recalls, that the death rate went down dramatically in the United States, and about 50,000 fewer deaths. And we took alarm with that and looked and wanted to know, gee, that didn't happen to be because they took Vioxx off the market and there were 50,000 more people alive, and that was our allegation, and we have yet to find any contrary evidence to it. It was all in the cardiovascular health area, and that's what Vioxx does, is cause blood clots among vulnerable people with cardiovascular disease. So that part of it made sense, but when they sent us the chart and we took a look at it, way back, they've got this going for a number of 5 or 6 decades, what the mortality rates were. The crude death rate went way up from 1992 to 1993. Audience, do you recall any major increase in death from 1992 to 1993? That's all in our recent memory bank. Do you recall anything? Because the death rate went up dramatically, so much so that the increasing life expectancy, which is always going up in the United States since the 1918 flu outbreak, dropped for the first time in decades. It was such a dramatic increase. Almost 93,000 more Americans died in 1993 than 1992. What was that all about? They don't explain it. No one says anything about it. So I had to search for 2 days to put it all together. It was a puzzle, and it has to do with the flu. And what happened is the morbidity and mortality reports explained that in 1992 to 1993, there was a flu outbreak that ended up causing this extra 93,000 deaths. But it was more like a mortality epidemic than it was an epidemic of the flu. About the same number of people got the flu, it's just that more people died out of that group, and so it doesn't stand out as a number of more people got the flu. But what I'm trying to explain to your listening audience today is, how come they don't list that flu that was in 1992-93 among the ones they call that hit the flu cycle? 1918 Spanish flu, 57-58 Asian flu, Hong Kong flu, 1968-69. I don't know what we call this flu, the hidden flu, which was 1992 to 93, killed more people than any of those others except the Spanish flu. Now, why do they ever make mention of it? One of the interesting things is when you go into the explanation of it, they explain that one was the H1N1, by the way, that's the same variety as the Spanish flu in 1918, but it mostly struck people in nursing homes. And that's where we want to point, because it points us what's going to happen if we get another flu bug encircling the globe. Who's it going to kill? Not who's going to get it, who's going to die, because that's what the big concern is. That's what they count. That's why they're all worried about the flu of 1918. And the mortality went up because it got to nursing home populations. And, of course, they're the most vulnerable. They're elderly. Even if they get vaccinated, pay attention, even in nursing homes where they use Tamiflu before the flu came and they used the vaccines, there were still mortalities and they had major flu outbreaks. It's all documented. The report we're going to put on our website here at knowledgeofhealth.com. But you see, we're still going to get this no matter how many people roll up their sleeves in America and take the flu vaccine, which is only about 100 million out of a population of 280 plus million, is that we're still going to have about the same death rates because the flu vaccine doesn't work. It's often wrong. It doesn't protect against the correct strain. And just to give you an idea, the vaccine for the flu in 1997 and 98, government officials say, was so ineffective that it was probably very close to what would have occurred had no vaccine been available. Of course, we were never told anything about that. These are just examples. But what happens is people living in nursing homes are frail elderly who can't get out and get their shots and so on, can't do anything but eat the food in front of them. They probably have low immunity. So if the flu gets in circulation, you're still going to have the same number of people die because the vaccination rates, as good as they may be, aren't complete. And who's the least likely to be able to get to the flu vaccine centers? Of course, the frail elderly. And so the same number of people are going to die. You're going to have all these people lining up to take these shots. You're still going to have as many people die. It all depends how many of them are unable to get there. And the interesting thing is there is a strain of the flu, influenza A type, and that's the H3N2, which has killed over the last 30 years about 500,000 Americans. Which is the most dangerous strain of the flu in your mind, the H5N1 bird flu or the H3N2 that's killed 500,000 Americans? H5N1, worldwide, not just America. I believe the latest numbers are 110 people and so on. I mean, and that's taken quite a few years. How long has the bird flu been in circulation? Since 1997. That was when it first broke out in modern times. For how long have birds been harboring the H5N1 bird flu? Well, it was in USA Today since 1959. You mean these birds have had this stuff for 45 years? And, yep, they've had it for 45 years, and nobody was worried about it in 1965 or 75 or 95. We're just worried about it today, that it's going to bring down the world. So all of this is false, and what the story is that they sent Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger from the U.S. Army up to Alaska to bring out of the permafrost from these bodies that the people that died in 1918 and see what strain of flu that was. What they're trying to say is the H5N1 was a mutant, that is, it turned the H1N1, which was the flu, Spanish flu of 1918, really came from the bird flu H5N1, and then it mutated into the H1N1. Boy, there's a stretch of the imagination. I don't know how they can prove any of this. So now we're all worried about a bird flu that only attacks the birds and only strikes poultry workers who have poor immunity and work in close proximity to the birds, and never transfers in all these years from one human to another. And that's what we're worried about. That's what we're going to line up and get flu shots for. Now, the only reason they haven't done anything yet is because they got to wait till they get the 1 billion flu shots they've ordered. Then they're going to have us all line up and take them.
Well, I think it's a Gates scam. I think they know exactly what they're doing, but they don't want the American people to know. If you ever want to see how the media is controlled, look at all this information funneling into us, frightening us to death with the danger of bird flu. And as I say, I've put programs on by people who honestly do believe there's a problem. But of course, I believe it's the chances are far greater that you'll be hit by lightning than you're going to get bird flu or die here in the United States. 160 people die of lightning here in the United States every single year. How many people have died of bird flu? Absolutely none. And yet, of course, we day after day we see the same story. Well, Bill, why don't you go ahead and pick the story up there?
Well, certainly as our report goes on, they're certainly threatening all kinds of onerous types of restrictions if a flu outbreak comes. Recall now just the average flu season, which is coming up here as we get towards winter, pass through the summer. And, of course, they're trying to tell us that 36,000 Americans die every year, though they're oddly claiming that 1977-78 was an epidemic with only 8,000 people. What they do is they take the numbers of older people that die of pneumonia and throw them in with the flu numbers, and it's very hard to distinguish one from the other. And they use this number, and there aren't 36,000 Americans dying of the flu. But this seems to be used as a public relations advertising number to frighten the public to roll up their sleeves and get the flu shots. Now, recall that the Centers for Disease Control is really the advertising agency for the flu shot manufacturers. And, of course, the idea is that the public won't line up unless there's some giant threat. Recall now, we're trying to get this on the world scene. And they actually have a plan underway to get this bird flu vaccine. We're going to get vaccinated against something that's not a human threat. So the only thing you're going to get is side effects with no benefits. And they're going to have us vaccinated against this thing. On a worldwide basis, they're trying to get a billion shots ready.
Oh, you know, it's so interesting. I was reading that they have announced now that if the bird flu arrives in America, they're going to start killing flocks of chickens and turkeys and things like that that are outside even before they find out whether anybody's infected or not. That's how they're going to stop it.
Well, they're going to ruin, in certain countries, they're so worried about the agriculture economy being destroyed by this. And it has been in certain countries. One Italian poultry raiser just committed suicide over this whole thing. I mean, you don't know what's going on here, and it's chaos because they're oddly enough, where the problem you're eating the raised chickens, the ones that are domesticated in the cages, and then of course the ones that would be the wild flocks. Now, how many deaths do we have in wild flocks of birds? Well, every once in a while you do find a dead bird around. And they may have the bird flu. But we don't see any giant attrition of even the birds from this flu. And like I say, they're admitting that this has been around since 1959. There are billions of birds. There's no way to control this. And yet they're acting like they can control it by killing off millions of birds. Well, the weak point is who's handling the birds in the domesticated birds and who's handling them. And, of course, if they're having a poor immune system, and this is what's happening in the third world, these people could pick up something. So we do nothing for them. We don't give them vitamin C. We don't give them vitamin E. We give them, now they're running around in jumpsuits with a little mask over their face. But these people really are poorly nourished themselves and probably have weak immune systems, and this is why mostly the vaccines in our country won't work for older adults. It might work for you, but for older adults, they're going to have to get some vitamin E and so on. This has been shown in recent studies because you don't produce enough antibodies unless your immune system is intact, and vitamin E, zinc, selenium.
How about vitamin D? Doesn't that have an effect on the... Hold that just a moment here. Yeah. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Sardi. We're talking about the scare tactics that are being used as far as avian flu is concerned. And certainly, I was just saying while we were off the air that a recent article said that if the bird flu comes to America, they're planning on any flocks of birds, turkeys, chickens, anything that's raised outside, they're going to kill them, whether they have bird flu or not, because they might get bird flu, and they're not going to wait until they can actually test and find if there's any bird flu there. They're just going to start mass killing of domestic fowl here in America. Now, they're not going to do that with the big flocks that belong to Tyson and the other companies that go along with the establishment. It's just their competition. They're going to kill all the birds.
Well, there is no competition hardly at all anyway in our country, but with eggs and poultry meat. I mean, they've already got it dominated with just one or two companies, and they're going to do this worse off, I guess. What we're looking for, are we headed to a day when our own neighbors, the people at the grocery store, police, and others are going to force us to get our flu shots because, well, you don't want to put the public at risk, and then tell us to stay indoors and in our houses? I mean, can we walk the dog? Can we go out and golf? I mean, I don't know what kind of insanity this is going to get to, but I could see American turning against American here, if we're going to have quarantines, and I put this in my report, what we should do is put police around the nursing homes to keep anybody who has the flu from entering. If you want to save lives, that's the best thing you could do. The rest of this is insanity. And, of course, I just imagine, you know, you're up in Idaho in a cabin and they're trying to tell you you're quarantined. I mean, they're trying to do this on a worldwide basis. They're trying to propagandize and get the public worldwide to be frightened of this so that they can sell a billion flu shots a year. And the cooperation between government and these pharmaceutical vaccine manufacturers is incredible. And they're all doing it on a phony H5N1 bird flu virus, which is literally for the birds, and it's not going to get you, and it's not going to get your grandmother. It's not going to do anything. It's fizzled out. It's been in circulation, H5N1, since 1997. It's been in the birds since 1959. All this gets disclosed in a report which I've documented, and of course, it wasn't the one that caused 93,000 more Americans to die in 1992 to 1993. That was a different strain. That was the H1N1, which, by the way, is the same as the Spanish flu. Now, that might have been another little different substrain, but it's still the basic strain. You see, the Spanish flu has actually been back in circulation a couple of times, and actually the H3N2 variety is the dominant one over the last 20, 30 years, and has killed more people. And, of course, we try to put that in the vaccines currently. But we're still dying, and we still have mortality about the same. They tell us 36,000 every year, and the vaccination rates keep going up and up, but the mortality rates don't. And a lot of this has to do with ineffective vaccines, and a lot of it is because people don't have a good immune system in certain groups.
And, of course, I think the other thing, you know, is simply that time after time, year after year, the public health authorities create the vaccine 6 months to a year before the epidemic is going to hit our country, and they make the vaccine for the wrong organism. And so it's all an educated guess, but they're not going to tell you that when they tell you to go down and get your shot. They're going to try to stampede you into getting it over, running out. If you don't get it, you're going to die. There's going to be a real shortage. You better get down there and get it right away if you, you know, really care for your life. And what they're doing is they're frightening people to death. I have never taken an influenza shot, and I never will. Because there are complications to these things.
Well, there certainly are. You can get Guillain-Barré syndrome. This is where the bottom half of your body is paralyzed, and you, if you can live through that, it may put you on a respirator and so on. I mean, there are real issues here. And, of course, what we're concerned about is those things they're putting in there, whether they're still the mercury, thimerosal, or any other things. They've been altering these. If they're going to have a new vaccine, remember, it's going to be unproven, and you're going to be using it on the world. You're going to be using it on a billion people. If you make a mistake, this is going to be huge. So this is what they did with the polio vaccine. They had a mistake there. So, you know, they've got a litany of these. So,
of course, the polio vaccine was when they actually put there was a cancer virus in that, an SV40, a simian virus 40,
right.
And they lied to the American people. Not only that, but when they realized there was a cancer virus there, what they did was they let the manufacturers use up all the rest of the vaccine rather than pulling it off the market. They let them use it up. Why? Because they didn't want to pull it off and frighten the American people, because if they knew that they'd introduced a cancer vaccine into our entire population, why, we might not trust them anymore. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi. Bill, go ahead, pick the story up there.
Well, our report, which is what they're not telling you about the upcoming flu epidemic, is at knowledgeofhealth.com. And I'm quoting researchers at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Now, this is a division of the National Institutes of Health. They've got a new report out, and they're saying that it reveals that the benefits of influenza vaccination may be substantially less than previously thought. There's our own government researchers saying that. And why? Because they say through natural immunity by being exposed to previous viral outbreaks, that's the likely responsible reason why many people have low influenza rates in subsequent years. It's not the vaccine. It's being exposed to the flu and then developing natural immunity, and then the vaccines get the credit for this. It's right here. Their own scientists are saying it. They concede that after 1980, the vaccination of adults 47 to 74 years of age provided little or no mortality benefit beyond natural immunity acquired by previous exposure to the H3N2 flu virus, which is the predominant one that's been in circulation. Can you imagine? This is our own scientists saying this. Does the news media deliver this report to you? It's there. It's in plain view. But unless the news media brings it to you, you'll never hear it. They're saying the flu vaccine has been largely ineffective because what they've been doing is we've been getting exposed to the flu. We have natural immunity and antibodies developed. And since 1980, if we had a low death rate in the flu season, it was because of the natural immunity and not due to the vaccines. Of course, they don't want this out because it's such a moneymaker. There is such a circle of money between the pharmaceutical companies donating money to the politicians who then wink at the Centers for Disease Control, who then order up the vaccines with a big payoff back to the pharmaceutical companies. But they've got to get them used because this is something the public goes down with their $10 bill to pay for. And, of course, they've got to frighten the public. The point is they're now frightening them on a worldwide scale and trying to develop a billion of the vaccine doses a year so they can really increase their profits on a worldwide level. You are seeing a giant public relations scheme on a worldwide scale to sell worthless vaccines to the population globally, not just in America.
Hold that thought right there.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi. Go ahead and pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, the question is, we were saying who's going to die. Of course, the most vulnerable elderly, people in nursing homes, people with autoimmune problems or on immune-suppressing drugs. Others, certainly the very young infants who don't have a developed immune system. But along about 1918, they noticed that an odd group succumbed to the Spanish flu, and that was 25 to 34-year-olds. And, of course, when they went back and looked, they realized that those were young men who had come back from World War I, brought tuberculosis and lung infection, a bacterium, not a virus. They brought it back with them. It was in the pre-antibiotic era. There was no antibiotics to treat it. They were just coughing with their TB. And the combination of tuberculosis, a bacterium, and the influenza, of course, was a mortal combination, and what they noticed is there was a giant drop-off in the number of people that had tuberculosis right in the same year. Well, if you had TB and you got the influenza, you died, and that was the main thing. And the researchers at University of California, Berkeley, say this was an extraordinarily high death rate that will probably never be seen again in future pandemics. You see, we don't have a giant population of people with TB in their lungs to do this. Now, on a world basis, we do. 2 billion of the 6 billion people on the planet, largely in third world countries, one-third of humanity on our modern globe has tuberculosis, and they would be at great risk if some sort of virulent form of the flu would get in circulation. Don't you think we'd have a giant pandemic now? Those people have a weakened immunity. The bird flu is circling the globe, and we don't see the people dying. I hope you get the point. The bird flu is for the birds. And, of course, we're more concerned about other virulent forms, or we're more concerned about that intentionally mutated virus they have at the University of Wisconsin, which is 39,000 times stronger than any other natural form of the flu. They've intentionally mutated it to be highly virulent. If that ever escapes from the laboratory, now we do have a problem for humanity. And, of course, there are some natural ways to handle this and calm all the mortality down. Selenium, which keeps the virus from mutating. Resveratrol, a molecule from red wine. Vitamin D, vitamin C. I mean, all these are potent and work and calm all this reaction down. So our lungs don't fill up with fluid and we drown like the people literally did in 1918. You need a good immune system, but you also need an immune system that doesn't overreact. And frankly, what happens in these cases where people are dying of the flu is the immune system is too active. And you can calm the immune system down or normalize it with vitamin D. And, of course, we notice that the flu comes every year during the winter months. That's when the vitamin D levels are low. So it's very interesting that that is what we see. So, you know, I think that we're getting hints here how to handle this. They tell us there's nothing we can do. Are we to wait home that there's nothing that works outside of vaccines? You see, that's what they want to sell us. And they don't want us reaching for anything else, or we may not roll up our sleeves and buy their vaccines. So the story is that nothing else works. They don't want the evidence out there for it. You need to get, you know, fresh garlic works. We pointed this out. We've pointed out elderberry syrup, especially for the young children, works quite well with the flu, not just with the common cold. There are many things that have been documented quite well in the medical literature. They don't want us to know about those. They tell us any of those won't work. The doctors all tell us, what are we to do, perish? They tell us they don't have enough vaccine. The flu virus is so, it mutates so fast, there's no way you're going to have a vaccine that works by the time they make it and get it to us. Even if it was available, do you think it would, that is, in stock, do you think it would be available to you with the masses going after it? Do you think you'd be able to get to it? If hospitals were crushed with people coming and clinics and everything, do you think you'd ever have any chance? And what good would the vaccine do if you already started having the flu? And so on. So with all of these things in practice, if we're relying on our American government to save our lives and the lives of our loved ones, we're fools. We really need to have something in our home medicine chest, and we need to be ready for this and understand that all of those things they tell us that won't work, probably a lot of them will be quite effective. Certainly vitamin D would. It's so strong that they think it would work for organ transplants and so on, where the immune system gets too frisky, and of course you have organ rejection and so on. It's being recognized now that vitamin D is a vitamin, really a hormone, because you get it from sun exposure, that will normalize your immune response, and that's what we want. If our immune response is too good, it'll fill our lungs with fluid if we have the influenza. So with all of this said, we can sort this out quite simply. Arm your medicine chest at home, and some of the things would be high-dose vitamin D, and, of course, we're talking about elderberry syrup, selenium, vitamin C, quercetin, some of these other wonderful things that might be helpful to you. It's in our report at knowledgeofhealth.com. The report's free. And if you can get to that or have someone print it out for you. And, of course, we're just trying to get the information to you directly and trying to, of course, really reveal to you that so much of this information is misinformation. And, of course, it just seems to be what's going on these days. If we're believing all this, it's on a world grand scale. The news media is in on it. What they're not telling you about the predicted flu epidemic, it's the report at my website, knowledgeofhealth.com. And, of course, this just seems to be a giant exercise. The entire world news media is in on this. And mindless reporting to frighten the entire world. So we're all getting ready for this big day. They're going to unroll someday and try and sell a billion flu shots.
Well, now, what do you think about the Tamiflu?
Well, the Tamiflu, of course, is a very expensive drug. It has killed a few children in Japan where they use Tamiflu. much more readily than we do here. And, of course, you can have a severe reaction to it. There are a couple of natural herbal products here that seem to have the same biological action. One of them is resveratrol from red wine, and there's a couple others that may do the same thing. The issue is that Tamiflu is only going to shorten the duration. It has to be given before you're actually exposed or in the very early stage. If not, it's probably not going to help you. And, of course, there's not one study that proves that it lowers the mortality rate in any flu epidemic, and yet they're lining up and having these giant contracts. Governments are buying Tamiflu and stocking it, and it may never be used. This is just a giant payoff to the pharmaceutical companies. The one that makes Tamiflu is, of course, Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, was the former president of Gilead Pharmaceuticals, who makes this and licenses it to other companies, pharmaceutical companies. So there is a political connection to all this. If anybody didn't notice over the past week, there was a great big story about a medicine, raloxifene, which is used for women who are trying to build their bones in older age, and where it said raloxifene was as good as tamoxifen in lowering the risk of breast cancer. But now there were far fewer side effects, and women who refused to take tamoxifen because of the cataracts and other terrible side effects, they might now take raloxifene because it reduces the side effect. What do you mean reduces the side effects? If 440 women took raloxifene, there'd be one less side effect than taking tamoxifen. Is this a world breakthrough? Is this worthy of a headline? No, but raloxifene is made by Eli Lilly. Does anybody recall that the Bush family has, the elder Bush was on the board of directors of Eli Lilly? Is this the payoff politically for that company? You see, we need to really be looking beyond all this, and why does the news media mindlessly take the report that came from the National Institutes of Health on raloxifene and mindlessly report it without any critical review? I have emailed back to those reporters my version of the story that the data from the National Institutes of Health revealed. It was hardly any benefit over tamoxifen whatsoever, yet the headline said, and they even quoted experts as saying, now, ladies, you can line up and get raloxifene and not be worried about the side effects of tamoxifen. The side effects are still there. They're still real, and they're just slightly less. One out of 440, folks, that's one-fifth of 1% less side effects than tamoxifen.
And that's certainly not statistically valid at all.
No, not whatsoever. And yet, this is what goes on. The Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, and others issue a press release. The words are jumbled around in a little different order, and then the New York Times and the Associated Press and all the rest of the mindless news press puts it out there. And you see, they had this press release days before. They had time to write it. It wasn't like they were in a rush because it's released to them in advance. And yet, here's what they do. Well, they're in a rush to get the story, and they become part of the government propaganda machine.
All right, well, let's go to, I think we have Ken Phipps on the line. Hi, Ken, how are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, thank you for the program. And may I make a couple of statements, and then I wanted to ask of Bill Sardi to, the last part, to what years did the Spanish flu come back? But number one, my toxicology book says that the predisposition to TB is chlorine. And we had the chlorine gas as one of the main war gases of World War One, and a lot of compounds that I don't know if they would do the same thing. Number two, in the Christian Science Monitor that John Rappaport mentioned one night on Coast to Coast AM is coming out, and they are saying the pandemic flu, this guy at Peter Doshi saying the pandemic flu, selling pandemics flu through a language of fear and on. But he mentioned that in of a Dr. Palisi at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. I told the New York Times in November the 8th, 2005, such and such. But they had blood serum from the Chinese people, wherever it was, that they had antibodies to that H5N1 flu. And there was no deaths. I mean, no pandemics or anything.
All right, fine. So let's get Bill's response to that. Bill, how would you respond to that?
He's correct. He's quoting the doctor in New York who said they're just spreading fear. It is true that they do have the antibodies. And, of course, you know, they're just trying to point all this out. There is some good reporting out here. But then it's repeated again and again. I actually have on Google, you can have all the flu reports in newspapers and television reports and so on. You can have them forwarded to your email. And so I get this box with about 20 or 30 of these a day. And you can see all over the world they continue to repeat this giant story. Now, you know, what they're doing is a lot of poultry is exported from one country to another. And so if the country isn't looking like they're culling their birds and doing something about this, well, then the nearby country or somebody who buys the poultry will then, of course, exclude that country's exports. And, of course, we're doing something about it. So everybody is forced into looking like they're doing something and running around like a bunch of Keystone Cops trying to keep the poultry industry alive in their countries because there will be sanctions. You know, understand, let's just say you have poultry in Germany and I'm flying to Germany. Well, all of a sudden I hear the poultry is infected. How much tourism goes on? None. So all these countries are worried about a drop-off of agriculture sales. They're worried about a drop-off of tourism. So they've got to make it look like they're doing, well, let's go shoot wild flocks of birds. Let's go cull them. Let's make it look like we're doing something. Let's put some masks on and then have the reporters take pictures so it looks like we're doing something in our country.
Well, I think that's probably a pretty good assessment of what's going on. And how often have our listeners heard, well, there's a 50% mortality. Well, there's a 50% mortality because some of the people who got sick and those who got sick, why 50% may have died, but you know, the real thing is that probably there are millions of people out there who got the disease and never got sick from it at all, and we never hear about that, and everything is designed, I believe, to scare us to death. Did you have a question, Ken?
Yeah, the one on the, what were the other years do you have at hand that the Spanish flu came through, because I was going to write them down?
Yeah, I don't have the entire chart in front of me, but we have it on our report that's going to be at Knowledge of Health. And, of course, that would have been 1993, 1996, 1991, 1989, 1987. That was an H1N1. Go look it up. That was the Spanish flu basic subtype at the time. So, you know, there. By the way, all of this is referenced in which journals it came out of and so on. So those strains, by the way, that's the report that comes from our own National Institutes of Health. They're the ones who just revealed this. So, and they're saying it's natural immunity that we get from being exposed to the flu that's been responsible for the decline when we had a weak, by the way, last year was a very, very weak flu season, and of course they were making a big to-do about it, like we should be so worried. So we're getting a disconnect. It's only the news media that keeps this alive. It's not the government, and it's not the... I take issue also with the virologists and the infectious disease specialists. They do all this, but they're so self-serving, they want to get more funding, so they go along with the whole government program.
Okay, thanks so much for calling up again. And let's go, who do we have here? We've got Mike in Santa Cruz. Okay, Mike.
Yeah, one of the big stories in the beginning of all this avian flu thing was this girl in the middle of Turkey that came down with the avian flu. And then about a month or so ago, there was this World Health Organization report that she never had bird flu in the first place.
Right, exactly.
So I wonder if you could comment on that.
Well, certainly this is the kind of thing we see. We're all concerned about this one or two or three, and then it comes out, it's not confirmed, and then later on, and the 50% death rate, that's 50% among poorly nourished people out of the 100 and some that got it. So, you know, 110 die out of 196. That's it. That's the total numbers for years.
Well,
1997.
How many tens of thousands have got it, hundreds of thousands of millions, and they have antibodies, and they've never been sick?
That's right.
And that's the story that they never tell you.
That's right.
Because they want to scare you to death. And if you're listening to the television or listening to the radio, or, well, I mean, I think it's, but the question is, why? What are they trying to distract us from? Because they are trying to distract us. Well, Mike, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Well, I guess we lost Mike, so Bill, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Once again, what's that website people should go to?
Knowledgeofhealth.com. Of course, that's going to be posted here shortly, what they're not telling you about the upcoming flu epidemic. But I'm trying to create the facts for you so you can put it together, because you're wondering who's up to what nefarious objectives. The issue is just simply money. They want to, of course, for reasons of drill now, for reasons of making it look or appear like it's real later, they want the entire world population to line up for flu shots every year. And they want to sell a billion or two vaccines a year. And they want to do this on a large scale. And understand, you may not even have to pay for it, but it'll come out of your tax dollars, because that's who eventually orders the vaccines. And then every country in the world who doesn't order the vaccines and have their population, of course, vaccinated, why, of course, we will ban travel in and out of that country. Why, we're going to chastise them. And all of a sudden, the whole thing has a life of its own without any threat to human life. We're going to be vaccinating everybody for the H5N1. Let me say it again. Bird flu. It's for birds. And so here, folks, because you're worried that it's H5N1 is going to mutate to the H1N1, which was the Spanish flu of 1918, never really been shown. And, of course, we've had the H5N1 in circulation since 1997. So if you believe all this, well, fine. Go get your flu shot after I've told you all this. If you really want to do it still, why, that's your own choice.
Well, I really think that we see how powerful the media is in controlling our reality and making us believe that black is white and truth is falsehood. And we got a real problem in America. What the American people have to realize is that we're not getting truth through the regular channels. That's why we have alternative radio, and that's why I appreciate so very much Bill Sardi's being willing to come on with us. One parting thought, and then I'll let you go.
Well, continue to support Radio Liberty so you get this message. Please tell others. And please don't fold under, and you're still worried, you're still frightened. Fear has a way of working inside of us, so we still go get that flu shot. Don't let it come back and bite your family and your loved ones, especially the very young. Try to avoid that flu shot and get healthy with the vitamins, minerals, and so on.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us, Bill.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that was Bill Sardi of knowledge.health.com. We recommend that you go to get his material, read it, and then start thinking about making preparations to protect yourself and your family with vitamins and minerals. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, certainly by radio and by internet and by shortwave and by satellite. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you really want to understand what is going on as far as your health is concerned, we have several books we recommend. One is on children's health. It's a new book we're carrying. Another is Russell Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And if you know anybody who's going through chemotherapy, you need to get his book on natural strategies for health patients, because we've heard some wonderful reports from people who've gone for chemotherapy, and instead of getting violently ill and losing all their hair, why, they didn't have all the problems at all, and the doctors couldn't understand why they weren't getting sick like everyone else. The book is Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And then, of course, we carry Dr. Blaylock's last book entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills. We have a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock, which is entitled Life-Saving Health Secrets. That's Life-Saving Health Secrets. We have a wonderful four-tape set with Bill Sardi going into ascorbic acid. We'll be putting together some more of our tape sets with Bill Sardi. We think it's so important that our listeners understand what you have to do to protect yourself and your health. And one of the things that nobody ever tells you is the fact that vitamin D really will help you as far as the influenza is concerned, and I think about taking rather substantial doses. I know one of our good friends that had the disease for about 3 weeks with a sore throat and recent flu that's going around. My wife dosed herself up with vitamin D and vitamin C and the other things, and she was over it in a relatively few days. So there's so much that you can do to help yourself. I didn't get it at all. Everybody else around me did, but I take all of the things that Bill was talking about, the resveratrol and the vitamin C and the vitamin D and the selenium, and I certainly so far I've been able to withstand getting these. We take Alamax. My wife has a whole flock of things that we take on a regular basis, and I think we have amazingly good health considering the situation as far as others are concerned. We do carry Dr. Carolyn Dean's excellent book on magnesium, The Miracle of Magnesium, her book A Death by Modern Medicine, another book called A Death by Prescription. If you are one of those people who are taking the statin drugs, you really need to get our four tapes out on statins. You need to get the book we carry on statins. You need to understand what they're doing to our diet. The book Seeds of Deception, going into the genetically modified foods. And they know that they're doing harm. You need to understand what the water fluoridation has done. You need to get our four tapes out on water fluoridation, or our syllabus, or our talks on water fluoridation, or the videos we have, DVDs. You need to understand that the MSG, the aspartame, the NutraSweet, produces pathological obesity. They know that. They just don't want you to know. Well, who is doing this? Well, you need to get my DVD or video. It's entitled Planned Population Reduction. That's Planned Population Reduction. All of the things we've mentioned are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, we hope that you will certainly listen to our programs there on the Internet. Encourage others to listen. Encourage them to listen to our shortwave programs. We do what we do because, well, somebody's got to tell the American people that they're not getting the truth through the regular channels. If you don't believe that the media is controlled, you need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly. The New Media Monopoly. And then understand behind all of this that dark spiritual forces that want to claim as many lives as they can. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please, please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.